Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about celebrating diverse views of financial independence.
Yeah, Joel, this episode's coming out July 3rd. It's almost the 4th of July, and I don't know if you remember, last year, we kind of took July 4th off because...
We did a shortened episode.
You know, it's good to have a break. This episode isn't going to be shortened like that last one, but it is good for us to talk about financial independence, what it means to us as individuals, and I'm excited to hear from a lot of our listeners as well. Not actually in audio format, but we do have a bunch of comments that our listeners wrote in on our Facebook group, so if you haven't been there to check that out, just go to Facebook and search How to Money. We would love for you to be part of that group. You know what? I would love to be more part of that group.
Yeah, you've been slacking a little bit, you know, but that's okay. We've got a lot going on, a lot on our plate.
Yeah.
But you know what? The cool thing is, I think we've got, 3,500 members now, and people...
Wow.
I know, right? People are helping each other out constantly. So I like to be in there as much as possible, but just like you, like, it's not possible for us to be in there even every day. It's just really cool that folks are helping each other out. It's not us giving all the answers. This show really is about the community, and I feel like in the Facebook group and in the Ask HTM episodes, that's where we really start to see and feel the community vibe of the show. And this episode is going to have some of that same stuff too. In our last segment, we are going to get to what financial independence means to people that actually listen to the show. And there are a lot of diverse viewpoints, Matt. And I know your view of financial independence has changed over time. My view of financial independence has changed over time. And so I think it's a good thing for us to kind of reset and talk about, you know, what financial independence means to us. Because I think if you can just reframe the way you view the concept, the topic of financial independence, that can help you as you're trying to achieve that goal.
Cool. And Joel, I wanted to share a quick story. My wife and I, we've realized that one of our daughters has, it seems that she has a slight speech impairment, right? She hasn't been developing her speech ability as she's gotten older, maybe quite as much as her older sister. It's not that severe. That's what we learned by going to a full-cost speech therapist. And we realized what it was that she was actually doing with her, like the different exercises that she was taking our daughter through. She said, this isn't a serious speech disorder. She's just delayed slightly. This is something we'll be able to take care of pretty easily. And so, by the way, that one-hour session is $145.
Not cheap?
Not cheap, yeah. And then afterwards, Kate and I, we thought, if it is not that expensive, I wonder if there are some other options. And so we asked around. A friend of ours had a friend who is part of a grad student program at our local university, Georgia State, downtown Atlanta. And she told us about how we could get involved with their speech therapy program for a fraction of the price. So I mentioned how that one session with that one professional that was recommended by our pediatrician, and she was fantastic, right? I'm not going to at all knock the services that she was able to provide. But like I said, she cost $145. That being said, through Georgia State, we're getting graduate student level speech therapy at a fraction of the cost. I'm talking 10 sessions, so 10 one-hour sessions for $200.
Oh, wow. That's a marked difference.
A drastic difference in price. So obviously, I love it because it's affordable. And the quality is actually really great, too. I just went to the first appointment where we all kind of sat in there. We sat behind the one-way mirror. And so you can observe and you got the headphones on and you can hear what they're talking about. But at the same time, my daughter's not distracted by me and the other girls making faces and different things like that. So that's great. And there's also something too about being part of the local university, knowing that you're helping students further their careers and furthering their education, kind of being part of that education system. I think it's cool that we're able to be part of something bigger like that.
Yeah, you know what it makes me think of, Matt? Our friend Wiley was a dentist, went to dental school. Not too far from here in Augusta, Georgia, where you grew up.
Yeah.
And people can go to the actual school to get dental care. And that dental care costs a whole lot less than what you'd pay at a legit fully fledged dentist, because you're going to students who need to learn, need to practice, but they have oversight, right? So you're still getting really high quality care. You're contributing to the growth of someone in their industry, and you're saving a whole lot of money in the process. And so this is really similar to what you're talking about with the speech therapy at our local institution. And I think it's something that people should consider, that you're not cheaping out by going to someone who's in the learning phase, right? It's really kind of this win-win where you're able to, you know, help yourself and help your daughter get the speech therapy she needs at a reasonable price, while at the same time kind of helping this person actually graduate and move on to doing what they want to do with their life, which is helping more kids with their speech issues too. So, I mean, I think it's awesome. And I think it's something people should consider and look into more. And that takes often a little bit of research, finding out what your local institution offers, searching for schools in whatever service you're looking for. And I think it's a way that you can save money without being a cheapo, right?
Yeah, totally. You know, that was one of the things we were worried about initially, was that this was going to be subpar care. But for a portion of that session, her instructor actually sat in the room with us and was observing. And then for a portion of it as well, she went into the room and was a part of the instruction as well. So that, coupled with the fact that knowing that this therapist was maybe just a few months away from being able to be a part of a practice where she was also going to be able to charge $145 an hour, realizing that there was very little difference in the type of care that we were receiving. But again, for a fraction of the cost, was made us feel really good.
I mean, for years, my wife has been going to a haircutting school to get her haircuts, and they're less than half the price of a normal haircut. But these people need practice. They need to cut hair on real life humans in order to get better at their skill. And I've been going to a Supercuts training program to get my haircut for free for years, and my hair still looks okay. obviously, you want to take more care in a situation where we're talking about your daughter's speech, or you're talking about dental care. But these are still things worth considering. I'm glad we were able to talk about it. And I think this might be helpful for some folks.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a frugal win for us. And hopefully that helps someone to think outside of the box when it comes to saving on some different costs like that. And Joel, you recently wrote a fresh post for the website. You want to fill folks in on that one?
Sure. Yeah, we're trying to write more articles on the website that are helpful, supplementary info.
And honestly, there's only so much that folks are willing to listen to you and me talk.
right. Yeah. Two episodes a week might be the max of exactly. Your attention span, and understandably so. But yeah, so I wrote an article about when you should be closing a credit card. That's a question that kind of came up in our Facebook group and a common question that people have. Like, when should I be closing a credit card? Should I? And typically the answer is no. And you can find out why in the article. But also, there are certain circumstances where it's okay. And so I cover those too. And just wanted to mention that we're going to try to do a better job of providing supplementary written content on our site, howtomoney.com. So feel free to go check that out.
Nice, man. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our beer for this July 3rd episode. We've got a beer from Edmunds Oast Brewing, and they are out of Charleston, South Carolina. This beer is called Order of Magnitude. It was donated to us by Andrew. Andrew actually sent in a listener question that we featured on the show. His question was about the fitness apps, like the different running apps. He's a runner, and was trying to look for a way to kind of make money on the side doing that. Which, by the way, I had mentioned Achievement. That seemed like kind of one of the most legitimate ones. And my numbers have tanked since school got out because I haven't been riding my bike. Confession, I haven't been riding my bike every day, which is what I normally do for exercise. And so I kind of feel like crap because I haven't been getting outside.
That's funny. I've been riding it more.
I know. Yeah. Because you haven't had the cargo bike. So you've been hopping on your actual road bike, getting that extra workout in. And so you're looking fit.
I'm svelte, right?
I'm feeling like a slob these days. But yeah, that was Andrew. He was the one that had asked that question. And he sent us these beers because he lives right there near Charleston.
Yeah. And this beer in particular is an Imperial Sour Ale brewed with lactose and sea salt, passion fruit, mango, and guava. Can't wait to drink this and then talk about it at the end of the show.
I want to talk about it now because we've already sipped it. And this beer is so freaking good, man.
It's delightful, but it's we have to hold off.
Because this episode, we're talking about financial independence.
That's right. Yeah. On to our topic at hand, which is celebrating the diverse views of financial independence. And Matt, we're going to talk about how our views have changed. And then we're going to incorporate, like we mentioned, some listener comments from the Facebook group about what financial independence means to them. And I think it's important as we continue along our personal finance journeys to continue to reassess where we're at with our finances and then what we're striving for. We're constantly influenced by what we read and listen to and who we hang out with. And so continually coming back to the drawing board can be helpful in continuing on to achieve what we want, not just the definition of success that we see touted in the culture around us.
That's so true, Joel. You know, the definition of success can vary from person to person. But if we're going to get technical about it, there is an actual definition of financial independence. And that just means being able to live and subsist off of your investments. It means not having to work if you don't want to. That is like the nerdy technical definition. But like you said, there's varying degrees of what that could mean for different individuals. Like, yes, there's this high, lofty goal of financial independence, but there's so many sort of steps along the way. And I think it's worth kind of touching on some of those and what that might be. I mean, for some folks, man, like that just might be getting back to zero, right? Like that could be a major form of financial independence. Even if you're at least just taking some of the chains off that are currently holding you back. If you're currently in debt, if you're in consumer debt, maybe you've got just a massive car loan and you're upside down in your car. For those individuals, getting out of that hole, like that's that first step. That's the first stage of achieving financial independence. And that's something that's worth celebrating right there, right? Like that's something that needs to be recognized. There are a lot of wins along the way.
Yeah, Matt, if we take just that traditional definition that you mentioned, which is being able to live solely off of your investments and never have to work again if you don't want to, well, for most of us, there's a huge gap between where we are today and that being reality. And so I think it can become a little overwhelming to think of it just in those stark terms. And I think thinking of it in stages, right, where you're hitting stage one, stage two, stage three, you're hitting different points of different amounts of financial independence in your life can be really, really helpful. And so yeah, stage one, getting out of debt, that's huge. We've also talked about on the show, peace out money. And we talked about that in episode 41. This is kind of another form of financial independence, whereas you begin to pay down debt and increase your savings and start investing towards retirement, you have more flexibility, more freedom in choosing the work that you want to do, even though you're not even close to saying, I never have to work again. You haven't reached that point of financial independence. But when you have hit the stage of having peace out money, you have hit a legitimately important step on the road to financial independence. And I think that's another one that's important to celebrate too.
Yeah, that's right, man. And even beyond that, I think maybe the next stage would be someone who's further down that path towards true financial independence, where they're actually able to start living off of some of the money that they have invested. They're living off of the dividends, whether that's being paid through stocks or whether it's revenue that's being generated by real estate. That's something that we talk about a decent bit, you and I like. There are just different ways that you can sort of gradually transition from working and having that need to work in order to survive to the other end of the spectrum where you can completely stop working, right? What we're saying is that there's a lot of steps in between, you know, the one extreme and the other. And all those steps along the way are worth celebrating. And Joel, I'm excited to share what financial independence means to us, to you and me as individuals. That's changed for us some over the years. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with our listeners right after the break.
All right, Matt, time to get personal, and I think you should kick this off. How are you currently thinking about financial independence, and how has that changed for you over, you know, the past decade or so?
Yeah, man, let's dive into this. So for me, as a photographer, years ago, being financially independent meant that we were making good money and that I had the luxury to take on the different projects that I wanted to take on. And so what that means is that I could say no to the clients that I didn't think were, you know, a great fit for us. And then I could say yes to the work that I really wanted to take on, even if that meant offering discounts, right? And so in addition to that, Kate and I, we were both working together on the business. We were working within it. It wasn't as much about working less, which is typically the standard definition when it comes to financial independence.
Yeah, because you guys were working together, you out of the same room, worked doing
exactly.
Weddings together.
Yeah.
And so there was less pull to work less because you were able to be together with the person you love the most.
Exactly. I mean, we're both stoked. It was a brand new business. We're excited to grow something. And so instead, though, what we were doing is we were trying to continue to make sure that the work was fulfilling from a personal standpoint. And so it meant having full autonomy over our work, the type of work that we were doing and the quality. But in the end, though, the focus was on the work itself, regardless of how much time that it took. So that was sort of then, right? And now, though, like you said, with kids at home and, you know, I've got a wife now who isn't working directly alongside me in the day-to-day running of the business, I actually do want to work less because the focus has turned from the type of work that I'm doing instead towards my family, as well as different things like my spiritual and my physical health, the different priorities that I've identified for myself as being important. And so what that actually looks like are days and weeks that include the things that are the most important to me, with my money almost kind of being an afterthought. And so now financial independence means that I can have my days filled with the important things that I really want to do, but also have my money in order and still be able to reach some financial goals that we set for ourselves.
All right, dude, you just said you want your money to be kind of an afterthought, or maybe it is. I don't know. Can you explain that a little bit? Because that kind of caught me off guard.
Right. So it's less of an afterthought, maybe, and it's just more of a reorganizing of priorities. So my money, you know, my personal finances, it's still very important. It's still really important to be prepared and to do smart things with my money. It's just not the top concern anymore. It's not my only focus. Because before, it used to be money, and then the fact that I was able to do really fulfilling work alongside it while earning that money, that was kind of top priority. the focus has now shifted towards living a life that I feel kind of empowered to lead, like one that I feel in charge of and one that aligns with the priorities that I've set for myself.
And really, the only way that you can say that is by having handled your money well for the past 12, 13 years since you've had your own small business, right? Because I think even you saying that sounds really nice to a lot of people, where money would be an afterthought, and creating the ideal life that you want for yourself is, it sounds awesome. But for a lot of people, because of where they're at with money, that seems like something that's hard to even achieve. So how would you say you've been able to get to this point? And when did you find it possible to even kind of shift your line of thinking towards thinking like this? By the way, I feel like I'm interviewing you right now a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of does. It's kind of fun. Well, like you said, being smart with your money, that's sort of a prerequisite in order to get to this point. And there's years of that. There are years of spending less than we were making and instead taking that additional money and saving that and investing it and doing wise things with it. However, I don't want to make it sound like that I've totally got this thing figured out, right? According to my own new definition of financial independence, like, I'm not currently achieving it.
So you've got this idea in mind that you want to achieve, but you're still not there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have deficits on both of those fronts, right? My days don't look exactly how I wish that they would look. And I'm actually not reaching some of the modest financial goals that we've set together as a family that I've set for myself personally.
And that's because you're prioritizing personal goals a little bit more than money goals.
Than
right
the
now?
Monetary goals. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I am incredibly lucky, though, to be able to spend my time doing the things that I want to do while making a living. But I'm just saying that my sights are set a little beyond my reach at the moment. So I have these loftier goals, I guess, and I'm still striving after similar things that I was before, but it just comes with a reordering of my priorities. Before, it seemed that my focus was more on the work and the money, and the kind of life I was able to live as a result of that was just kind of gravy. Whereas now with a larger family, like there's more folks that I want to spend time with who are not involved in my day-to-day work and who are not involved with making money, and especially my wife. Like, she's not working with me doing photography anymore. And so that has to become a focus now, because otherwise I know my tendency, which is to kind of work more than I think I should at times. And so to identify that these are things that I've set as my priorities and I need to make sure that I strive after those things. And at least for the time being, with a young, growing family, I'm trying to do what I can to make sure that money is a close second to family.
Yeah, I appreciate that perspective. And I especially appreciate that you have a definition of financial independence that kind of works for you and your goals. And it doesn't look like everyone else's definition or what everyone else is striving for. And even though you're honest about the fact that you're not achieving it in the ways that you want to be right now, which I think is the same for me and the same for probably a lot of our listeners, they're not hitting on all cylinders. Their goals of what they want their life to look like, both monetarily and the way they spend their time, just aren't quite up to their desired expectations. But having that at least as a goal, I think is so helpful as you do strive to move forward and make little changes here and there to get closer to that ultimate goal, right?
Yeah, Joel, I mean, that's what we talk about every week on the show, right? Like, we're talking about these different changes that you can make to your life in order to get you closer to the life that you do want to lead. And so, Joel, why don't you share with us what financial independence means to you, maybe what it has meant to you in the past as well?
Sure, yeah. You know, I think initially when I started my first job, I had the idea, I'd heard financial experts say to try to get the 401k match or to try to save 10% of your income. So I kind of did that as the stock advice. And I was like, great, this has me set on a good financial path, right? But I just never was challenged to do much more than that. My sights were kind of set low. I hadn't educated myself a whole lot in regards to the whole money thing. I was always frugal, but the concept of financial independence just hadn't really entered my radar. So when I saw other people dedicating more of their resources toward investing for the future, and I began to read more about like real estate investing and simple retirement and stock investing, I just saw that there was this massive group of people out there that were dedicating themselves to doing a whole lot more than just that, like getting the 401k match or saving 10% of their money. And they had these massive goals in mind that honestly inspired me to start to rethink, you know, where my money was going and what my ultimate goals in life were. I didn't just want to hit a low bar. I wanted to do something bigger. And so I had already kind of specifically chosen a profession based on enjoyment as opposed to pay. I knew that my goal wasn't to have like a mega high salary, but I also realized that making an average salary, that I could still sock away lots of money if I was wise. And I also kind of came to the realization that things can change. I saw coworkers getting laid off. I had seen, you know, as a child, I saw my dad get laid off from a great job. And so I kind of started to put two and two together. And I was like, well, what if I do want to work less or start my own thing in the future? What if things change? And things can always change. Change happens even when we're not looking for it, right? I mean, that's a constant in our lives. So I realized that that was going to mean me dedicating more of my resources toward building wealth for the future. And so like after a decade of focusing harder on that, stepping up my retirement contributions and buying a handful of rental properties in the area, which took a lot of saving. It took a lot of intentionality. It took a lot of foregoing things that might have been nice in order to get to, you know, one of these steps on the ladder towards financial independence. That was really important for a long while. But similar to you, Matt, I'm taking my foot off the gas a little bit. And I am prioritizing more family and community and podcasting. Like those are the things that are really exciting right now, like, that I'm able to spend more time with my family, spend more time with friends and in my community, and then also work on something that I find the most valuable and the most rewarding, which is honestly creating this show, which has been a lot of fun and I think has been really meaningful. So I think to a certain degree, my view has shifted a little bit, but at the same time, I think you and I are both able to reap some of the rewards of being a little bit further along the path towards financial independence, that we can actually take a step back and kind of think like this.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. You know, like something I feel like I heard you say was that your early focus around financial independence was maybe more narrow and on your work. And maybe I'm reading into it, but that was totally my case, right? Like I wanted autonomy, but I only really cared about my autonomy when it came to my work. But similar to what you're saying is that it seems like now we're both sort of stepping back and we're looking at the larger picture. And I don't just want autonomy now over just my work. I want autonomy over my entire life. But then, like you said, even this podcast, this is something that we've been working hard at for, man, over a year and a half now. And to be able to have that perspective, I think, and to pursue the things that we find meaningful and that bring us the most joy and that has the most impact, and for us to have that luxury to be able to do those things, that to me is financial independence, to have those options.
I think it's important too to mention that really that luxury is very much a Western modern luxury. It's not something that most people can easily achieve. And it's not easy in the United States either, but it is something that we have the ability to do that a lot of people around the world couldn't even conceive of. And a lot of people in human history never even would have had access to, never would have dared to dream the thought that it was possible. And so right. I just want to also say that I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that we are in kind of a rare time in history. And even just the concept of normal everyday folks being able to achieve some sort of financial independence is kind of a modern miracle. And I just think it's something that is important to point out, because I want to say that I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that we live in a place where it's possible.
And where we have the freedoms and the independence to be able to seek after those things, right? I mean, we're doing this on the 4th of July, and we're kind of doing this in conjunction a little bit with, you know, our country's independence to a certain degree, but it's a little tongue in cheek. But we are thankful for that, right? The fact that we have those luxuries and the ability to think of something that we want to do and just chase after it, work really hard, and to potentially, not always, but potentially be rewarded for that is amazing. I'm incredibly thankful for it.
Hashtag America.
But you talking about other countries, man, it also made me think about how it's just culturally not something that they do as much. But you know, something that they are really good at, and that's just working less just all the time.
Completely.
Like whether that be siestas, whether that be an entire month off that the country shuts down. I'm looking at you, France, when we visited in July and nothing was open.
Or prioritizing family that and community. Other cultures do that way better than we do.
Way better than we do in the U.S. And for whatever reason here in America, like we tend to just work crazy hard for very focused amounts of time. And it almost requires us at the end of that to say, okay, now I'm going to retire and not work. But when you think about it, that almost doesn't seem like a healthy way to approach things, right? To work crazy long hours, not see your family, neglect relationships. Oh, and then at the end of that, you're going to then be able to do all those things automatically as if you were doing them all along. Like, it doesn't quite work that way. Relationships don't work that way. And I think that's one way that a lot of countries, especially in Europe, I think they're able to approach that with a much more balanced mindset.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so we've kind of shared our thoughts on financial independence and how our thoughts have changed over the years. And let's get to some thoughts from our listeners on how they view financial independence. And we'll get to that right after the break.
All right, Joe, we're back from the break. And you know, you posted a question in our Facebook group. You're asking our listeners, what does financial independence mean to you? And here are some of the answers. I'm going to kick it off with Tommy. He said, to me, it means not having unnecessary outstanding debts, at least a six-month emergency fund, and affordable housing. It sure relieves a lot of stress to have the above-mentioned items in check. And man, Tommy, I could not agree with you more. One of the things that stood out to me that you mentioned was having at least 6 months of an emergency fund. Like, that's freaking awesome, right? Anytime you're able to have that financial margin in your life, you're able to relieve some of that stress. It just takes the pressure off and it just leads to a happier life.
And affordable housing. If someone were to ask me what's the number one thing that's contributed to my ability to save and invest more than your average American, I would say it has been choosing affordable housing consistently. And so, yeah, Tommy, I love that you put that up as a top item, a top check mark of getting towards financial independence. Devin in the Facebook group mentioned financial independence is having close to 100% disposable income with no debt whatsoever, not necessarily retiring early. And I think that's true. I mean, I think inside of this conversation about financial independence, the FIRE movement has also added these two letters, RE, retire early. And that's not necessarily the goal for most people who are seeking to achieve different steps on the financial independence ladder and eventually, you know, reach that last rung of not having to work in order to make money because their investments are able to provide everything that they need. But I love that. 100% disposable income. That's a great goal to have, Devin. It takes a long time to get there, but I love that that's your goal.
Yeah, I know that's true for me. I don't necessarily want to quit work altogether. I just want to be able to have a little more control over my work, a little more control over what my days look like. Next one here is from Tucker, who says, financial independence to me, without putting numbers to it, means being able to fulfill the things you want to do in life without worrying about how it will be paid for. Not having to think about where you're going to get money for the next month and just being able to be financially stress-free. And again, this is another one that involves reducing stress. And oftentimes, I think that can be an incredible motivator.
Yeah, Matt, we did an episode about escaping that living paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. And that, I think, is actually one of our most important episodes because there are so many people who are living month to month, who can't seem to get ahead, who can't seem to break that cycle. And it does become a cycle. And so I think Tucker's desire to say, you know what, I want to know that I have the money going into the next month ahead of time. That is something that a lot of people don't have that security of knowing. And that is, like we talked about earlier on, that's one of the first steps on that financial independence ladder and a worthy one to consider. Amy wrote, my husband and I have struggled greatly to have children. To me, financial independence means being able to add to our family via adoption when we want to, without fear of not being able to afford it. In other words, we choose when to have more kids, not our budget.
Crazy powerful, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that struggle. And yeah, it can be really expensive to even just have kids, right? Not having kids, that's expensive to raise them, to provide for them, but even just to have kids, especially if you struggled with fertility, and achieving certain levels of financial independence can help you have that extra savings or the extra ability to feel like you actually can meet those goals and not have to go into debt to do it. I just want to recommend an episode that we recorded with our friend Jillian, and she's talked about adopting kids from the foster care system. And so I would recommend you listening to that episode. That's something to consider if you're considering adoption.
Yeah, that episode was titled Overcoming Poverty, Achieving Financial Independence, and Intentional Living. And that was episode number 82. Our next one here is from Steven. His was pretty short, but was incredibly powerful and to the point. He said, it means being able to retire early so I can take care of my wife who's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Man, that one just hits me like a ton of bricks, right? You know, if you're in good health, a lot of times we take our health and the health of our loved ones for granted, but it only takes one visit to the doctor and one scan for your life to get turned completely around and to realize that the foreseeable future is going to look a heck of a lot different than you had planned.
Yes, Stephen, thanks for sharing that, man. That is powerful and just another great reminder of some of the reasons that might even be unknown for why we're trying to achieve financial independence. Another Amy on the Facebook group mentioned having no debt, 6 months plus savings, not being tied to a job. She says, I would love to do travel nursing when my kids are older and only take assignments when and where I want them. If you're a nurse, travel nursing sounds like an awesome way to go if you have that kind of flexibility. And I love that desire to only take assignments when and where you want them. And I love that that's what financial independence means to Amy. That's really cool.
And Joel, I actually looked up travel nurse. I Googled it because I never heard the term before. And typically, it's like a 1 to 2 year stint maybe to somewhere else, typically in the U.S. where there's a nursing shortage. And it's called travel nursing, but it can apply to other healthcare professions as well. So like maybe different therapists and different medical needs like that. But man, what a cool way to kind of see different parts of the country and live there and get to live life for a while. I really love that.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends who have done it in different stints in different spots. And my mother-in-law actually did a stint down in the U.S. Virgin Islands for like a year. Yeah, which was really cool. She got to live the island life and do some travel nursing. And I mean, that was kind of a win-win for her.
Yeah, I'll say, man, that's awesome. Our next one is from Megan. She said, not being tied to a job. This past year, I started a really rough job. We had an emergency fund in place and other savings in the bank, and we're not living paycheck to paycheck. And we had no debt. This gave us the flexibility we needed for me to be able to quit my job and not work for a few months while I looked for a new job. We didn't even end up using any of our emergency savings. Knowing we had options made all the difference. Man, we've already mentioned the Peace Out Money episode. Having options, giving yourself that financial margin to be able to step back and look around and just take a breath. Sometimes even having a month off where you can kind of regroup and mentally just catch your breath, right? Like you're just kind of getting your thoughts in order to figure out what it is that you want to do next. That's what you need sometimes in order to make a really great next step.
Yeah, when I think about financial independence, I think of two words. I think of the word margin, which is kind of that baseline financial independence, which is your first couple of steps to at least give you some breathing room. And then I think of that term options that Megan just mentioned. Having options available to you, not having to do something because you need the money,
right?
Even if it's just for a temporary period of time, that's a huge piece of the heart of financial independence and what it's all about. Sean wrote in and he said, to me, it's a balance of living your best life now and being prepared for the future. Each day is a gift and I don't want to take that for granted ever, but it's important to be prepared. I love that, man, because I don't always think of every day like that. I want to, but I don't. And so that's just a call for me to remember that each day is a gift and each moment that I'm able to spend in community with family, creating something that I enjoy, they're all realizations of this goal. And I love that Sean is also valuing the journey, which I think is such a huge part of this as well. If we only focus on the destination and we can't enjoy the day-to-day each day, then it becomes drudgery to try to achieve this goal as opposed to a joy to wake up each morning and continue to work towards it.
And at the same time, though, he's touching on being prepared. I even think back to what financial independence means to me right now, and I almost am a little concerned. Like I'm worried almost that I'm overly focused on the here and now, making sure that I am living a perfectly designed life that I want to live right now, making sure my days look exactly the way I want them to. And that concerns me a little bit because I'm thinking to myself, am I thinking long-term enough? But again, this kind of goes back to finding that balance. And I think knowing myself and knowing that my natural tendency is to overemphasize the future and it's to discount the here and now. And so I think what that means is that I have to prioritize the here and now to accept every day as a gift, to make sure I'm growing those relationships with my family, with my friends, and not just growing, but deepening. It's so hard because it is a balance, but I think knowing yourself and knowing sort of which side of that spectrum you tend to fall on can even help you to focus in on which part of that you need to pay maybe a little more attention to.
Yeah, so much of it has to do with our bent, our personality type, and I think it's important to recognize in yourself. Angela shared, I've started thinking more about this since watching my mom leave her corporate job at age 50 to pursue her passion, and now she's about to retire at age 63. Financial independence for me means that I can be a full-time artist. I'm making a side hustle of it now by teaching and selling my own work. My goal is to earn enough to cover half my expenses by age 50 and reduce my hours at my corporate job to be part-time in the next 5 years or less. I'm also planning to save 12 months of expenses to cover a long sabbatical so I can try out being a full-time artist for a year. Dude, this is options, right? Angela just spelled out the ways that saving and investing and being wise with her money gives her all of these options. And we were just talking about that. I love that. It's so personal and it's so variable based on where she's at and kind of how she wants to handle things in that current phase of life. I think that's cool.
Yeah. And I think what's clutch in her situation is that she's identified a specific goal that she's working towards. It's not just some sort of lofty goal that, oh, at some point I'll be able to stop working. Well, that doesn't sound very fun. What sounds fun to her is being a full-time artist and she's working towards that. I love that. Our last one that we're going to share today, man, is from Michelle. And she said that it's not just about the amount of money saved and invested. It's also about finding and practicing a lifestyle that allows you to balance long-term and short-term happiness. Learn to live better with less. And man, I feel like at the core of this is just balance. And often that's what you and I come back to. It's a money show. We talk about money. We talk about how to be smart with your money, save, invest, spend less. And
spend less on your cell phone bill, whatever, like all sorts of those kind of things, right?
Exactly. But there's just so much more to it. There's so much more nuance than just doing these things to live a happier life. We should be making sure that we're focusing on the things that we need to now to ensure that we're living a fulfilling life, but at the same time, preparing for the future.
And Matt, that's the whole reason on the show that we drink a craft beer, right? that really is kind of, it started out of that. It was this reflection of doing something that we love and care about on the show every week to prioritize the here and now while we're thinking about the future.
Yeah, it's a little metaphor.
Yeah. And so the beer that we had on today's show is Edmund's Oast Brewing Company, order of magnitude, given to us by listener Andrew.
And so before we forget, Andrew, I just want to go ahead and say thank you for donating this beer, because the rest of the time we're going to spend talking about how amazingly delicious and rapturous this beer was, man. They just like took me away. It's a far off land. And this is one of the most delicious beers I think we've had on the show in a while.
I completely agree. I'm going to gush over this beer. I'm going to gush. It was so good. This was an Imperial Sour Ale brewed with lactose, sea salt, passion fruit, mango, and guava. And to me, it was like eating the perfect mango-guava hybrid with none of the weird texture that you get from eating a mango. I don't like eating mangoes.
Don't like texture?
I don't like the texture of mangoes, but I love the flavor.
Sometimes it gets stringy.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
But I love the flavor, and this beer perfectly infused those flavors. I mean, this is one of the best beers we've ever had on the show. This is up there top 10, easy, if not top 5.
Definitely.
This was great.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of times, I'm not a huge fan of guava, beers that have guava in them, because they tend to be too heavy. They tend to be too kind of cloyingly sweet. But this one, with the tartness that came with the beer, and I didn't realize that it had salt in it as well, but it said there's sea salt. That saltiness kind of brings out the sharpness to the beer. It meant that it didn't have to be so acidic that it was an assault.
Ooh, assault.
Oh, you like that little pun? It didn't have to be an attack on your senses, because there is this little extra edge that the salt was able to bring out without being too acidic. And the way that this beer was crafted and blended was just amazing, man.
I got to say, my wife adds a little bit of salt to chocolate chip cookies and has the same effect.
Yep.
It's not just sweet. It gives that like counterbalance of flavor. And this kind of hit every note on the head perfectly, because it was all these flavors working perfectly in harmony. And so it felt like drinking a high definition beer almost. Like, it was exactly what they were going for and perfectly executed. This was great.
Well, again, this is a beer from Edmund's Oast out of Charleston, South Carolina. If you're ever in that area, you've got to swing by there and check them out. Dude, I know next time I'm over there, I'm totally going to be swinging by.
It's a can't miss for me now. Yeah. Can't miss. All right, Matt, let's quickly give our final thoughts. This was kind of an out of the ordinary episode for us, I think, but it was a fun one to do. It got personal. It got personal for us. It got personal for our listeners. I really enjoyed that. The thought I want to convey at the end of this episode, though, is to focus on your next step for financial independence. And also remember to enjoy the good things that are in your life right now. I'm not sure where you're at on this path, whether you're hoping to achieve step one, which is just to eliminate high interest debts in your life and just start the ball rolling when it comes to investing, or if you're further on down the road. But wherever you're at, just focus on the next step and enjoy the good things that you have now. Keeping those two things kind of front and center will help your mindset. And also, I think, your achievements as you seek to continue your journey towards financial independence.
That's right, Joel. Yeah, that's the tactical, right? Like the day-to-day stuff, the boots on the ground sort of activity. But make sure as well that you are not losing sight of why you're doing what you're doing. Make sure that you've identified those big goals and the why behind your financial independence. And make sure that that is informing your next steps and why, you know, why it is that you're being smart with your money to begin with. I guess it's a three-pronged approach, Joel.
I like that. All right, so this was fun, Matt. I'm glad we got to do the show together. And for folks listening, if they want to check out the show notes for this episode, they can go to howtomoney.com. And don't forget, we'll have that article there about when you should consider closing a credit card.
And hopefully you found this episode to be helpful and enjoyable. A lot of this episode is made possible because of everyone who is in our Facebook group. So head over there, search How to Money, join that group. We'd love for you to join our community and to be part of this sort of bigger discussion that we're having surrounding our personal finances.
Sweet. All right, buddy. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Best friends out. All right, Matt, let's go watch us some Will Smith Independence Day now.
Welcome to Earth.